Good morning, and welcome to our podcast from Westside Baptist Church in Berea, Kentucky. You're listening to our Sunday morning service of August 20th, 2017. Soloist Emmanuel Alexander begins our service by singing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Vernon Abney then leads the congregation in the singing of, "There's Something About That Name, and I Will Serve Thee." Pastor Alan Livingood follows with today's message entitled, "When the Disciples Were Increasing in Number," focusing on scripture from Acts 6, verses 1 through 7. Brother Vernon will close our service by leading the congregation in the singing of "Living for Jesus and to God Be the Glory." We hope you enjoy your time with us today. Now, let's listen as Emmanuel Alexander begins our service.
Stand with me, if you would, and let's sing that chorus together. There's something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. I will serve thee.
'Cause I love thee, you have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me.
That chorus again.
I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are what you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given.
It is a joy to see you here on this beautiful Lord's Day, and I'm going to ask you, if you will, to stand again with me as we read Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. That was the greatest miracle of all in this. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. You may be seated. Let us pray, please. Lord, as the choir so beautifully sang praises of your character and attributes, you are gracious, you are holy, you are loving, you are mighty, you are merciful. And we call upon you, God, today to speak to us fresh and new through the old, old story. We pray, Lord, that you would open our ears, still our spirits to hear from you, and open our minds to receive the Word of God into our life, and allow it to transform us, Lord, and to draw us closer to you. I pray, Lord, for your divine aid in delivering this sermon unto your sheep. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in God. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, it could be estimated by this point in the sixth chapter of Acts that there could have been, give or take some, there could have been approximately about 20,000 believers that have come to Christ since the ascension and since the giving of the Holy Spirit in the beginning of this blessed book. 20,000 people, 20,000 new believers. Now, beloved, that is an awakening. It's an awakening to the gospel. It's an awakening of the Holy Spirit. It's an awakening of the hearts of man. What a mighty and glorious time this was. And note how many times the gospel speaks to us, maybe not specifically all the time, but at times about numbers. You see, numbers are important because people are important. We count people because people count. And people were coming to Christ and being numbered, if you will, among the early church. What an exciting time this was. What a glorious time this was. The sign gifts in full effect. Miracles, signs, and wonders. The Word of God going forth with the power of the Spirit. People coming and receiving Jesus Christ in His salvation. But not only receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, but calling Him Lord and counting themselves among the apostles. Gathering daily at Solomon's porch outside the temple to hear the word preached, going from house to house and proclaiming the gospel, breaking bread in fellowship and partaking of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. My, what a glorious and powerful time it was. And it said, in these days, the disciples were increasing in number. But then we find a comma after the word number. And then it goes on, Dr. Luke goes on to describe to us what happened in the early church. And you remember just a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about Ananias and his wife Sapphira and how they marred, if you will, the beauty and the purity of the church. And the church was never the same after that. And here we see a complaint. A complaint by the Hellenists. See, the Hellenists were the Greek-speaking Jews. And traditionally, the pure Jews didn't receive Greek-speaking Jews all that well. You see, beloved, the terrible things that we're seeing in our country are not new to mankind. They're not new to our time. It was the same then. A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. A complaint. We're not being treated fairly. We're not being treated justly as people within the believers. And you remember, people were selling land and giving money and laying it at the apostles' feet that they might distribute and take care of the needs of the people within the body of Christ. This was what was happening, and yet some of the widows, the Greek-speaking Jews, the Hellenists, were being neglected. I want to tell you, this is a serious matter to God. When you think about James 1:27, Many of us know the verse, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That is pure religion. So this is a serious matter to God, that those that are helpless, those that are hurting, those that are needy are taken care of. You know how why this encourages me? One reason it encourages me is I look at the power of the church, the early church, the infant church, and in the book of Acts, and we read about the power and the thousands that were coming to Christ, the mighty miracles and works and signs that were being done, and yet there was still problems. Can I encourage some of you all today, when you have complaints, that they didn't have it all right all the time either? And when we say we want a church like the church in Acts, yes, that's true, but be reminded, even in the fullness of that power, there were problems. There were issues. Even with Peter, who people were putting their sick in the shadow of Peter to be healed, Peter, James, and John, and the apostles, even they couldn't do it 100% perfectly all the time. And you know what this speaks to me? One reason is, or one way that it speaks to me is, there has to be a recognition within the church of human limitations. Human limitations. And the other thing that we need to recognize is when we do complain, when we do complain, God still uses imperfect situations and people to grow His church. May we not forget about human limitations, that one person is not able, 12 even spirit-filled men doing signs and miracles are not able to accomplish all the ministry perfectly. I really believe this is one of the reasons why the church of today has stunted its growth in this way. It's the idea, and you might think I'm being on a soapbox. I'm not getting on a soapbox. I'm really not. But the idea, I hear it quite often when a church is struggling, the first person they go after is the pastor. Now, I'm not saying the pastor doesn't have responsibility in the matter, but when there's not growing, that's the first thing people say. How sad. Would you have said that to Peter? Would you have said it to James and John when there was complaints? Yes, they had some responsibility in the matter. One of the greatest things that stunted the growth of the church is in the last century, especially when more and more churches got their own pastor and paid, there came a sense, and churches became more established, there came this sense of that's the preacher's job. To do it all. To do the visits. To take care. And this is the reason why many churches are not growing. It's that mindset that has stunted the growth. Even if the greatest of pastors have human limitations and they are unable to do the full work and ministry of the church. You see, it takes us all. And the 12 apostles summoned the full number of disciples. And this is what they said. It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Were they being mean that they were saying to serve tables and to serve widows was beneath them? By all means, no. They were recognizing the importance of it. But they were saying, God has given us for now. See, they didn't have the full canon of Scripture that we have. Our authority now is the Word of God. But in that days, the apostles were the authority of God. We don't have apostles today. We have the Word of God. They didn't have the full canon of Scripture. They were living it and writing it. They were the authority. And they were saying, we have to preach the Word and pray. We have to teach the Word daily, and we can't do it and serve tables. The Word of God must come to the forefront. And here we see a struggle with even in today's time. There are churches and religious organizations that put so much emphasis on ministry and mission that they separate from the importance of the Word of God. And then there are churches who put so much emphasis on just the Word of God that they separate themselves from ministering to people. There must, listen to me. If you don't hear anything else today, please wake up and look at me a minute, because I'm looking at you. If you don't hear anything else I say today, would you please hear this? What we know about the gospel must connect with what we do with our knowledge of the gospel. And that means connecting with people. That means walking it out. And I fear that so many times we treat the gospel as this great object out here. We lose the impact of bringing it into our lives and then pouring it out by our hands and feet to minister to others. There must be a meeting place of the Word and the Word through us and the Word in us, and it pours out of our life in mission and ministry to others. If it doesn't, listen to me. If the gospel that you say you know doesn't impact the way you treat others, if it doesn't impact the way you speak to others, if it doesn't impact the way you look at others, if it doesn't impact the way you serve, I'm telling you today, you don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might know about it. You might understand its concept. But if it doesn't impact the way that you live and serve, you do not know or have the gospel like you think you do. They came together. They recognized there was a problem. They understood their human limitations. They understood that the Word must take precedence or first place and not suffer. And so they said, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we're going to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And as I said, here was the greatest miracle, and this is why I said this. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. In the first business meeting, there was 100% yes. That's a miracle. But let me tell you what they gave up. You see, the people, let me tell you why that's the greatest miracle. The people had to look out for the needs of others and not themselves. You hear me? Mature Christian, you hear me today. Look out for the younger and immature Christian. And I don't mean immature as a slam. I just mean they haven't grown where you are. What's helping them grow? Have you thought about that? Or is it just about meeting my needs? Let me tell you what they gave up. They gave up being served by Peter. You hear me? They said it's okay if Philip serves our table. Are you hearing me this morning? They gave up being served by Peter, James, and John and the other apostles. And they said, that's okay. Let them go preach, teach, stay in the Word, and pray. And we'll let other people serve us. And we'll help them. Because we want everyone and their needs to be met. Beloved, that's church. That's church. And they chose these seven men. And they set them before the apostles, and the apostles prayed and laid their hands on them. And it says that the word of God continued to increase. Why did the word of God continue to increase? Because the church adjusted so that it would take first place. And they allowed the apostles to pray, to preach, and teach. And so the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, greatly, in great numbers. More people were coming to the faith, and a great many of the priests, the enemies of Christ and the disciples, left Judaism and received Jesus Christ and entered into the church. You see, beloved, I become overwhelmed at times with trying to figure out keys for growth. And it's frustrating. And there's so many programs out there. There's so many ideas, and there are a lot of good ideas. There's so many conferences you go to, and you hear what's working in Michigan or in out west or down south, and or even in another part of the state of the Kentucky, and you think, maybe that's what we need to try. I sat in a conference last year. I didn't sit but about 15 minutes in this one part of it because they had a person from Disney, or who had worked for Disney, come and speak to us churches in Kentucky about how our buildings need to tell a story. And he was an engineer and architect, and they were telling us about how to build our buildings that they tell a story. And you should have saw the graphics and design. And I thought, how irrelevant for 99% of the churches in the state of Kentucky. We don't have millions of dollars to build a building like Disney World. I realize you can do it in simpler ways, but here it is. Church growth is not rocket science. We act like it is. It's not rocket science. This is church growth. Pray. Preach the word. And cooperate in managing mission and ministry. That's it. And everybody has a part to play. And I want to say this. I nor God expects you to do everything because you can't any more than I can. But God expects you to do something. God expects you to give something, a part, to make sure the gospel's going forth and needs and ministry and mission is taking place. You have a part to play. So many times, what do we say today? Where do you attend church? Or we'll say, I attend church at such and such. Beloved, I want to tell you, that was never the mindset when many thousands were coming to know Jesus Christ. The true mindset of the church today is not where I come and sit for an hour and hear a sermon and sing some songs. It was, where do I serve? Where do I make sure the needs of others are put before me so that they too may know Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God continue to come into completion for His glory and honor? And I want to say this for your personal growth. You know, I said the church growth comes from commitment to the word, commitment to prayer, and cooperation in managing missions and ministry. Do you know it's the same for your personal growth? It's the same for your personal growth. Commitment to the word every day. Commitment to prayer every day. And I want to say this too. Being a part of ministry and missions, that's growth in your personal life, and it's growth in the church. Everybody's wanting the next new big Bible study. And maybe that will help me grow. But I'm going to tell you, at some point, you got to quit soaking in the information and release it out through your hands and feet and your mouth and your ears and your eyes. Because if it's not, you're not really growing. You could sit through hours and hours of conferences every week. You could learn Greek and Hebrew and all of that stuff. You could be so intelligent on theology and different views. But until you serve a widow or an orphan or somebody in need, and that might go for the person beside you that needs your love, care, concern, you don't know the gospel and you're not growing as a Christian. This is what causes growth. And elements that harm church growth are unfair expectations on the pastor, low expectations upon the church and its ministry, low expectations upon the faithful preaching of the word, prayer, and the Spirit's influence, and very high expectations on programs and cultural whims and styles to grow the church. And this is where we're at today. And as we come to a close on this Lord's Day morning, I want to ask this question. First, are you committed to the Word? And by that, some of you need to receive the Word of the Gospel of Jesus Christ into your life and become a Christian. Because I want to warn you, the more sermons you sit through and reject Jesus Christ, the more condemnation is being poured and heaped upon your soul for eternity in hell. Another question would be, is this where you come to church? Or is this where you serve? Is this where you give of your life in every aspect? No, you can't do everything, and you can't do everything like I can, and I can't do everything like you can. And God doesn't expect that. The point is, are you doing something to serve Christ for the betterment of others and for the glory of Jesus Christ? Are you cooperating? Are you submitting your wants and wills and preferences so that others might know Christ and grow in the faith? We often say, well, we want the church to be like Acts again. I want to tell you, growth causes pain. Do you hear me? Growth always causes pain. But how are you responding to it? I can't tell you the times in my life I've heard people say, well, just things aren't like they used to be. No, brother and sister, and they never will be. And as my papaw told me one time that grew up in the Depression, everybody talked about the good old days. It wasn't all that good. Not knowing when your next meal was coming. Don't idolize something in the past, but be a part of cooperating to solve the needs and problems of the present and the future. So as we come to a time of a hymn of response, I ask you to pray and seriously contemplate. What do I do when the number of disciples are growing? And how am I a part so that the number may increase? So I ask you to respond to the Holy Spirit from where you're at or at this altar if you have needs. I'm here to pray with you, but let us stand together at this time and let us surrender our life to Christ and commit to Him for His glory. Our hymn number?
Page 545.
545. The altar is open.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway. I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
All of God's children said, Amen. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness today and throughout this week. JD, you're a sales guy. How many contacts do you have to make to sell?
Oh, it's up there like 7 or 10 before they even start listening.
Okay. 7 or 10 before they even start listening. So let's say 15. Make a contact or make 15 contacts this week, either by email, text, phone call. Look who's missing. Call them. Invite others. Let's do this together. Okay? Okay, I got one amen. God bless you. I do love you, and I rejoice in the ministry that is taking place here. Let's continue to strive for excellence in the service of our King. Thanks for being here this Lord's Day morning.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. God bless you. You are dismissed.
We hope you've enjoyed our service and invite you to return to our website and listen to the numerous other podcasts we have posted. If you would like to join us in person, service times and location are listed on our homepage. Thank you for listening.